We're on mission this morning. Well, let me put it this way. Jesus is on mission. We're going to see that in Matthew 4 this morning. He was born as a baby, of course, in the manger. Christmas time, we celebrated that. Grew up to be a man and walked this earth for 33 years, died on a cross. He was always on mission. And well, let's take a look. Let's see what was going on here in Matthew 4, and then we'll keep going here. When Jesus heard that John the Baptist had been put in prison, he withdrew to Galilee. Leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, the light has dawned. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." Once they left their nets and followed him, going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing the nets. Jesus called them and immediately left the boat and their father and followed him. Father, thank you for your word today to us from Matthew, how you inspired his words so long ago, and they're still true today. Thank you for speaking to us through your Spirit and through your word. Help us to understand a little bit more what it means to be on mission today. In Jesus' name, amen. We're all on mission. We'll notice, first of all, here in Jesus, in this passage, speaks of the place of mission. Talks and identifies the place of mission in verses 12 through 16. Then he speaks of the message that he came to deliver. And then thirdly, we see that he sends out the messengers. He chooses messengers and then he sends them out. So first the place. John the Baptist, as we saw, has been raised up by God to be the one to prepare the way for the Lord. The prophet Isaiah and others talked about John, the one who was coming, who would be the one in the desert. He's known as the messenger, John is, John the Baptist. So his ministry was basically, okay, you're going to grow up, eat locusts and honey, dress unusual, be kind of scruffy, baptize people in the Jordan River, for the repentance and the forgiveness of their sins. But here's your main focus, John. Point others to Jesus. That's your goal in life. Point others to Jesus. You're a messenger from God sent to prepare the way. John's ministry is coming to an end. He's in prison. Jesus takes up the cry. Following his unpleasant reception in Nazareth, where Jesus was raised, remember he grew up there as a boy, was raised in that area, Nazareth, north, ultimately kicked out of his own town, he begins his public ministry in the area of the Galilee, the Decapolis, the northern part of Israel. Specifically, in the village or in the town of Capernaum, as we saw in our text, Capernaum. Mark writes in his gospel, "After John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. When I was in Israel," this is one of the most fascinating visits that we had. I believe it was the first couple of days when we were there. We were in the northern part of Israel. We spent 4 days around the Sea of Galilee going from spiritual sites where Jesus and his disciples would have been. And so this was one of them. And actually, this area was prophesied to be no longer. This village would no longer exist. So it's just ruins right now. But there are some pretty well-preserved ruins. In fact, when you come through the gate in Capernaum, off to the right, I remember seeing a millstone. You know how Scripture speaks of a millstone tied around your neck and thrown into the lake? Okay, We saw a millstone. What's a millstone? What grinds wheat to make flour, right? There was one off to the right. Okay, we come back to the path, and we're walking in, and off to the left, we see columns and some stones. There's a structure there. It was a synagogue, you know, where Jesus, every time he would go to a village or a town, he would teach, and he would usually go to the synagogue to teach. The Jewish people would gather, and he would teach them. So we were in Capernaum. We see this structure. And was that the same structure that Jesus preached in? No. But they've excavated down next to it. It was a big hole there. And we could see stones in Israel. These holy sites, civilization has piled up on a lot of these sites. Okay, so if we dug down a hole there, we could see the actual 4th century and maybe even the 1st century structure of what the synagogue would have been built upon, where Jesus would have taught. Across the road here is a house that they believe that Peter lived in. So when Jesus began his ministry in this area, he lived there, he lived in Capernaum, and he preached in that synagogue in the northern part of the Sea of Galilee. Matthew describes for us, Capernaum was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali. So the Jewish contention was that the Messiah, Mashiach in Hebrew, Messiah, the anointed one, the Christ, the Messiah would come. All prophesied in the Old Testament. Jesus came and fulfilled that prophecy. He would carry out his work in, they thought, Judea and Jerusalem. But they probably didn't have a good reading of the scriptures, because Jesus' ministry began in the northern section. He eventually ended up in Jerusalem, but a lot of his ministry was up at the north. And Matthew points this out and shares that the prophet Isaiah from Isaiah 9 prophesies of the Messiah coming to this region. So in this region of Galilee that had one time been allotted to the tribes of Zebulun and Naphtali, a glorious ministry was about to unfold. The scriptures had prophesied about it. Jesus was about to fulfill that prophecy. Jesus has and will fulfill every prophecy concerning himself and his mission. A number of scholars think that there's over 400 or 500 prophecies. Some say at least 300, that Jesus has already fulfilled 300 prophecies from the Old Testament, has fulfilled in his life, his death, his resurrection. He's fulfilled over 300 prophecies. Okay, so Jesus is on mission, fulfilling prophecies, and he first talks about the place. Secondly, he speaks of the message. Okay, verse 17. From that time on, Jesus began to preach. Preach what? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. He's the kingdom of heaven. He came from heaven to earth. He's the king. And so he says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. This sounds very similar to the message that John was given, calling people to repentance. He urged them to turn their lives away from sin toward righteousness. This change begins in the hearts, lived out in one's entire life. We receive the good news of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, and are given a brand new heart by faith. Through her history, Israel had been waiting for the Messiah. They knew that the Messiah had been prophesied. They knew he was coming. The anointed one, the king of Israel, was coming. And they were waiting. They were looking to the future. And Jesus is here, is there. And he encourages the people to stop looking into the future and realize that he's here now. Look to the one who stands before them. What they had waited for was now near to them. Very similar to the story of the Samaritan woman at the well in John chapter 4. When Jesus said, I'm the living water. And she talked about the Messiah, and here it is. Woman, Jesus replied, believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father. Neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem, Jesus tells her, you Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming, has now come, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the spirit and in truth. The woman said, I know the Messiah. Remember the Christ? I know the Messiah is coming. Similar to what these people were thinking. I know what the prophecies say. I know he's coming in the future. Jesus says, when he comes, he will explain everything. Or the woman says, when he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus declared, I, the one speaking to you, I'm he. And she's the one that believed and had five husbands, remember? And then ran back to her village and said, you are not going to believe who I just saw, who I just met. And they ran out and they wanted him to stay for a few days so that they could find out who he was and what he's done for them. And Jesus is on the scene. He's come to reveal the Father to his people. Some believe, many did not receive. Jesus is here. He has a message, the message of the gospel, the good news of God. So Jesus talks about the place. He talks about the message. Then he talks about the messengers. This is a Christian rock group. It's an Irish-American group called We Are Messengers. I might try to talk Irish, but it's going to turn into Russian very soon. I'm bad on do that, accent things. We are messengers. Christ-centered group that goes around and has concerts. And I love the name of their group. We are messengers. John was a messenger. He was known as a messenger, the one who would prepare the way for the Messiah, the anointed one. The Christ, the Savior of the world. Here's how Jesus first recruits his messengers. Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee. He saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come follow me, Jesus invited them. And I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing the nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. How do you become a messenger? How did they become a messenger? From the invitation of Jesus. It was a simple invitation. Come. Follow me. How do you become a messenger? Same way. Receive the invitation. Accept the invitation by faith. And you become a messenger. Jesus makes you one. He chooses ordinary messengers. Fishermen. Tax collectors. Zealots. Calls his disciples, this comes from Mark 3, that they might be with him and that they might send them out. The order matters, with him and sent by him. With him, sent by him. With him, sent by him. John Piper said this, God did not choose you because you were qualified. He qualified you because he chose you. Jesus does not recruit the impressive. He transforms the willing. Jesus sent the 12 to share the message of the gospel, the good news of God. Matthew 10, just at the end of the passage, Jesus says this to the 12. Anyone who welcomes you welcomes me. and anyone who welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. And in the prayer that Jesus prayed in John 17, it's known as the high priestly prayer, praying to the Father, he said this, "Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world." The place is here and now. The message is still the same. It's the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The messengers are all those who have been touched by the gospel. You and I and all who have said yes to Jesus by faith. Listen to this motto. See if you can come up where it comes from. Neither snow nor rain nor heat nor gloom of night stays these couriers from the swift completion of their appointed rounds. Where does that come from? Postal Service. Some of you might have said Pony Express. It's an unofficial motto. Not official for the Postal Service, but it's an unofficial motto. It's actually engraved in one of the first postal offices in New York City, 1914. Can't remember the name, but in New York City there's a building, I believe it's still there, but it's engraved in that building, that motto. Did you know this? It comes, that motto, unofficially, that comes from 400 to 500 BC. That motto. By a Greek historian called Herodotus. Herodotus. I think I'm saying it right. Might not be. From the Persian Empire. That motto was adapted then unofficially by the Postal Service, Pony Express and Postal Service. The mail will get through. The message will get through. The messenger will take the message. No matter what. In wartime, my dad was a veteran, World War II. He didn't talk a lot about his experiences there. I think many didn't, because it was so hard. We did find out, I think from his sister, that part of his mission was to go across enemy lines to deliver a message to somebody on his team, an American, maybe a colonel, lieutenant, maybe on strategy for the war. My dad was a messenger. He carried the message that could have been very important in the scheme and of the battle of the war there. In fact, he was wounded on one of those journeys, shot in the face. He recovered. He got a Purple Heart for that. But maybe in the very similar way, you and I have been chosen not to be postal workers, not to be ones who carry a message across the battle lines for a war, but maybe a messenger to carry the good news to those who don't know Jesus. We are messengers. Thank you, Jesus, that you chose us to carry that message like you chose the disciples so long ago. The good news of the gospel spread in that area, and it spread eventually to us through your word and through your servants over the years, your messengers. We thank you, Lord, that we get to carry this message to those that need Jesus. In Jesus' name.